You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning, everybody. At the top of the headlines this morning, Russia says it opposes independent European Union monitoring in Georgia. Meanwhile, over the weekend, Vice President Dick Cheney visiting Europe after a visit to Georgia and other former Soviet republics called Russia's conflict with Georgia an affront to civilized nations. Listen to the voices in the news these days, Vice President Dick Cheney and the leader of Russia talking about this new confrontation. Here's Vice President Cheney.
Russia's actions have cast grave doubt on Russia's intentions and on its reliability as an international partner, not just in Georgia, but across this region and indeed throughout the international system.
Here's Russia's President Medvedev.
The events in South Ossetia demonstrated one more thing. Russia will not let anybody threaten the life and dignity of its citizens. Russia is a country which from now on will be reckoned with. We put an end to military aggression and defended our lawful interests. And these decisive steps have received approval not only in Russian society, they were appreciated by millions of people abroad.
The tone of President Medvedev and Vice President Dick Cheney is reminiscent of the Cold War, or is it? Joining us now is Edward Lucas. He's the author of the book, The New Cold War, Putin's Russia and the Threat to the West. Edward Lucas, what do you conclude from the tone you've been hearing out of Washington and Moscow?
Well, it is very harsh and it's alarming in some respects. It's not quite the same as the old Cold War because we don't have a really global confrontation. I saw that Russia and Venezuela are going to have naval maneuvers in the Caribbean, which is, of course, a slight echo of the days when the Soviet Union had a global reach. But it is only a faint echo. Russia's not as powerful as the Soviet Union. We don't have communist ideology anymore. We have a conflict between two sort of distorted versions of capitalism and the Western version of capitalism. But I do think this confrontational rhetoric is something we haven't heard since before the days of Mikhail Gorbachev.
And it has repercussions outside of Moscow and Washington. In some sense, the place to observe the emergence of a new Cold War is not in the talk of leaders, but in the impressions of people who are following these two countries. Where do you find a reemergence of the Cold War in rhetoric outside of Washington and Moscow?
Well, clearly the theatre of this thing, call it the New Cold War if you like, I certainly do because that's why I called my book by that title.
Smart fellow, Edward Lucas.
Well, yeah. The second edition is coming out shortly and we were tempted to subtitle it We Told You So. But I think the main theatre for this is clearly Europe, and it's the countries of the former Soviet Empire and to some extent Western Europe. And there is very much, if you go to the Baltic states, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, if you go to Poland, clearly if you go to Georgia, if you go to the rather unlikely place of Sweden, which was neutral during the old Cold War, there you find very hawkish rhetoric, the same as in my country, in Britain, and of course in America. Elsewhere in Europe, it's really different. You have the Italian foreign ministry saying, on no account must we confront Russia. You have the Belgians saying, there's nothing we can do. We have the Germans saying, dialogue is the way forward. We have the French, rather unusually, moving sharply towards the sort of British, French, Polish, Baltic position, perhaps because they see the way in which their President Nicolas Sarkozy has been almost humiliated by the Russians with their breaches of the ceasefire that he thought he'd negotiated.
Are there more references to the Cold War in the European press?
Well, a lot of the European press is saying, let's not have a new Cold War. The British press is talking as if it had already started. I actually think it started some time ago. It started with Russia's use of the energy weapon to play divide and rule in Europe, which has built up Russia as a very substantial gas exporter to the point that some people in Europe say there's simply nothing we can do now. And so that's created a sort of almost fatalistic air in the discussion. But I think the real problem is we haven't yet decided in Europe what's really going on. Because of that, we can't really decide what to do about it.
You know, when the Balkans broke up after the Soviet Union ended, the return to tensions in the Balkans actually were left over from World War I, even before then. Is it possible that the tensions and the competition that Russia is now seeing with the West actually has its roots in much deeper history than the Cold War, say the Napoleonic era, or say even the end of World War I?
It's a fascinating question. I think one can go back endlessly. One can go back to the fact that Russia never had a Reformation, never experienced the Enlightenment, and it was outside the European mainstream for crucial periods, which has left it feeling with one foot in Europe and one foot out. I'm very pro-Russian in that I believe that Russia belongs in Europe and as part of what one might call the Greater West. But inside Russia, you have quite a strong view which says Russia is qualitatively different. Russia is a Eurasian power and is just as close to Asian models of culture and behaviour as it is to European ones. I think that's wrong, but it's those very deep cultural differences which I think lie at the root of what's happening. And what the Russians find so offensive is the idea that a country like Georgia, which is further away from Europe than most bits of Russia are, or many bits of Russia are, and is Orthodox like them, that Georgia should be going down this route towards the EU and NATO in, you know, using a multi-party democracy, free press, all the other things. That was an intolerable ideological affront to the ex-KGB regime that's running Russia.
Well, we're going to talk about this throughout the hour. You're going to stay with us for a little while longer. But I quickly, is this about guns or is this much more about economic competition?
I think it's much more about economics than about the guns, John. I think that this is a bit of an anomaly. This is perhaps that Georgia was the one country that the Russians could really defeat militarily, and they did. But most of the time in Ukraine, in Belarus, in the Baltic states, Central Europe, with Germany, everywhere else, it's about using the energy weapon of gas, it's using propaganda, it's using cash, things like that.
All right. Edward Lucas, author of The New Cold War, that is not subtitled We Told You So. He's on the line with us from London.